Good morning. Good morning. Again, I want to thank Mayor Mitchell for coming in. I'm always willing to be flexible. He's always flexible. It's kind of fun, right? Switching it up a little bit, 9 o'clock on a Thursday morning. You got to see how I live with the espresso, and he brought in donuts, and what's better than that, right? So, again, we'll thank the mayor. You guys in the city of New Bedford, property owners, renters too, because any sort of tax increase, ultimately, you may not get it right away, but ultimately will filter down to the rent payers. I pay a rent on an apartment in the city of New Bedford. I've got property here in Fairhaven as well. So ultimately, I could get whacked twice. Prop 2.5 override in Fairhaven, and then maybe ultimately a rent increase a few years probably from now because of increased, decreased state aid and increased city spending to keep up with the economy. As for the police station, we didn't get into it because it's a couple of years away. The mayor didn't answer my question about will he be the mayor to cut the ribbon on the new police station, which is a number of years away. I am going to guess that the answer to that question, although the mayor was coy about it, will be yes. I can't see any real competition for the mayor. I think he's really enjoying his job. I think the mayor is by nature interested in solving problems. I think he's really hitting his stride. He's in my opinion, I think the mayor really enjoys the job. And has gained so much knowledge from being the mayor that he did not have from being U.S. attorney, although that's quite a knowledgeable position. Now, I think the mayor will be the mayor cutting the ribbon in half a decade on the new police station, new police headquarters. That's my opinion, because I just don't, you know, I ran that poll the other day. Nobody who came out of that poll, although formidable, I think could topple Mayor John Mitchell. That's my opinion. And I don't believe the mayor is interested in moving on, because I think he's really enjoying the job. And you hear him talk about municipal finance, and he's got to put this puzzle together. And I think while there's pressures, the mayor enjoys it. And I do believe through this process, through this mini crisis, it's not a crisis, it's a mini crisis. The mayor will get some of his policy goals advanced. I mean, that's what I think is going to happen. He's the most independent person in the room. City council cannot move. They got to move 11 guys, or at least 8, 11 people, at least 8 of them, at least in the right direction, unified to counteract anything the mayor wants to do. So, I mean, that's just nearly a political impossibility. It's not about their personalities or their knowledge. It's just that to keep 8 politicians moving in the same direction in opposition to one politician is very difficult, especially when the other politician's the most powerful guy in the room. So the mayor is going to get his policy goals and that's the way it's going to be. I believe, as he said, they'd like to hear from the city councilors, their suggestions and things like that, their big ideas. And I think now is the time to put them forward, those big ideas. And the budget process, hopefully, for the sake of the ratepayers, for you in the audience, will be less opaque, more transparent. Because the way the city council has been doing it, and they've inherited it over the years, and it's magnified in its absurdity, the cut night, where everybody throws in a cut and they go until they get to a majority. It's just nonsensical. If you've ever listened to it, I listen to it every year. And it's gets more maddening every year, to be very honest with you. Remember, I've done municipal budgets. I was an elected official before the age of town administrators and people who actually did all the work, and the elected officials were presented with options. We had to do it. Me, Bruce Wilbur, John Ashley, Barbara Obadu, Linda, right, our secretary, who did the yeoman's work for us. But my point being is that I understand this, in fact, because I came from a more primitive era of municipal finance where the elected officials had to know it. If you didn't know it. So remember, I remember talking with Senator McLean, Biff McLean, when he talked about how he got to the House in 1960. They didn't have staff. They had payphones. Only the leadership got desks. So you had to do everything. Constituent service, all of it. You had no staff. So he knew how to do all of it. All of it. So he trained all his staff as they came in. And then as the House consolidated and they moved on to the Senate and they got staff, Biff moved on to the Senate 20 years later. But he had learned to do it all because he had to do it. There was no staff. 508-996. Do you feel, though, that your taxes are going up? The one thing we didn't cover on the police station with the mayor, and we've certainly got time more. The mayor wants to educate people on all the options and all of that stuff, municipal finance. Is that you could do a 2.5 override debt exclusion. That's a very reasonable thing to do. We did it in Freetown for the schools. You see it in other communities where they do it for the police station. Dartmouth did it for a new police headquarters. It's a 20-year bond, usually. 20-year, 2.5 override. They figure out exactly what it's going to be on the property owners. Then it's up to you, the voters, to pass it. Now, that may be a risky proposal because you bring it to the voters. But I don't know. But that is a one way to fund a police headquarters, which is likely to be $100 million for the future. Anyway, 508-996. Open phones if it's on your mind. I want to hear about it. Again, we left about, I don't know, there are about five people that didn't get a chance to get through yesterday. The mayor and I will be next Wednesday. The mayor will be in at 11 o'clock. I'll be at Toast and Jam on Acushnet Avenue enjoying all the great breakfast food and the lunch food down there. It's going to be great. I'll be there 9 to noon. At 11 o'clock, the mayor will be there for Midweek with the Mayor. This is live from Toast and Jam on Acushnet Avenue in New Bedford next Wednesday, May 6th. Come down, grab breakfast, be part of the show. It's going to be great. The mayor will be there at 11 o'clock. And at 11, be your chance to save big with a Seize the Deal that goes live with half price deal for Toast and Jam. So Seize the Deal. You should always check that out. That's a great website. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris, Barry, Sylvia, how are you?
Great, Barry, how are you?
I'm good. You know, Chris, when you have a good show, I compliment you, right?
Yes. Uh-oh.
constructive criticism, my brother. Are you willing to take it on a bad show? Chris, I got to be honest with you. The mayor is so out of touch. And when Shaunine said, next time you come in, mayor, bring a violin. Like, how did he not get that? You know, and then the next caller, Chris, called and said, you know, all that money from ARPA money went into the Zyterian when we have a wastewater treatment plant that needs fixing. We need a reservoir for the overflow, for the CSO overflow. And the mayor doesn't even have an event, a ticket for an upcoming event in his pocket. And I don't get, I mean, he's out of touch. I don't think that you were that far out of touch, Chris.
So here's the thing. I don't know how the mayor feels. The mayor didn't understand. I didn't understand it either. Most tickets are done electronically now. You don't have a ticket in your pocket. So what he was saying was the question, are you using the Zyterian? Is that what he meant?
Oh, obviously, yeah. I mean, we all got it.
See, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
What is coming up at the Zeitarian that someone would want to see?
I don't think it is.
Chris, that's why do we put all that money into it when we need, I mean, you know how bad the wastewater treatment plant smells for the South End residents. You've smelt it yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It's making
putrid.
People sick. We've got the early results coming in from these PFAS blood tests are that residents have elevated levels of PFAS down there. And we don't, you know, we're just doing the CSO overflow. We're Fall River. They built a reservoir tank. So when it rains, the water gets collected, and then this prehistoric plant facility can pump it out as they can treat it. You know, he's taking sewage from these big projects on Dartmouth Street in Dartmouth. We're buying their sewage, and we can't even control it. And, Chris, what are we putting toward what's he getting in his budget? What's he putting toward the plant? And not only that, but I talked to Vinny Furtado in Fairhaven, your lovely town.
Yep.
They have one truck a day. They take solid waste from the treatment plant, their sewage plant. Ours is 10 trucks a day, and the place we're trucking it to, Chris, is going to close down. Where are we going to put this, you know what?
Yep.
Where are we going to put it? You know, that's why I sat on hold the entire hour trying to get through to the mayor, because what's going on in the budget, what's he allocating? My guess is the dollar amount is zero because he keeps kicking the can down the road. But anyways, I just, you know, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I don't mean to be critical.
No, critics, responsible criticism, certainly fine, Barry. You know that.
I appreciate your show, Chris. You know that. I mean, you had me glued to the radio for 1 hour, brother. So you did your job.
Thank you, my friend. Barry Sovia, of course, the former chairman of the Board of Appeals in the city of New Bedford, and he lives down the south. And actually, I was down by Barry's house yesterday. Lenny Mills and I went to Cisco. Lenny had never been there. I had a great meal at Cisco yesterday. For lunch, big crowd at Cisco. Beautiful spot down there. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Thank you. Two questions.
Sure.
The old school, are they going to tear that down to make the new police station?
That's a good thing. You know what? I haven't read through the study.
That's an old building. That's a beautiful building.
It's used by Packer now.
One more question. What about the dump we got, the city dump? How much time does that have left on it before they cap it? Where are they going to put the next one?
Those are all good questions. I do appreciate it. The mayor is not here anymore. He was here from 9 to 10. I can't answer that. I'll look at the study. It's publicly available. You can look at it. It's on the city website for the new police station. I'm not sure if it calls for tearing down. I think it's the Mary Braz School, if I'm correct. I think it was named. I think that's George Rogers' aunt. I could be incorrect, but it's currently housing Packer. I'm not sure if that will result in Packer, the building being torn down. I'm really not sure. At some point, the city has to make room for new development. It's a very narrow city. I recognize that that's a nice old building, but it might be better preserved in photographs than in actuality. Right? Might be better in photographs than in actuality. Spring happens fast, and so do accidents. Rock to the windshield, baseball through the window, no problem. Citywide Glass repairs your glass quickly, safely, and on site at your home. Foggy or clouded windows? You may not need a full replacement. Citywide can fix the glass and save you money. Upgrading your home this spring? Explore custom shower enclosures, mirrors, window and door screen repairs, and more. Fast turnaround, convenient locations in Dartmouth and Fall River, and they will come right to your home with their mobile team. Craftsmanship that you can trust. Visit citywideglass.net today for information and to book an appointment. citywideglass.net. I see you on hold. If you'd like to join me, it's 508-996-05. And a pretty short break. We'll be right back.
It's time to make the money talk for $5,000 Thursday. 482-482. Enter it right now at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app for your chance to make the money talk on WBSM.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. So Tim came in from the newsroom to answer that gentleman's question. Yes, the building on Cogswell Street, owned by the city, currently housing PACA, will be taken down to build a brand new headquarters for the police. So that building will be gone. And also, the North End Station up there on Tocklin Hill Road, and Ashley Boulevard, that will be shut down. There'll be no need for that anymore. So the North End substation, little headquarters up there, where once my father had to go to pick up one of my brothers, the younger one, and will be closed. So maybe we should keep that open for McCarthy family history. Keep that building open for my history. Not my history, but one of my brothers, who's a good guitarist, and many of you go to see him. But one time, way back in the 80s, he was mouthing off, and police took him. That was not the first time, though. Anyway, the last time. 508-996-0500. So, the PACA building, currently owned by the city, will come down. So I don't know where PACA will go. Maybe they can go to the old supermarket, or maybe they can just go to Dartmouth, find another place to go. I don't know. They do provide really good work over there. I've had Carl, the executive director, in the studio at least once now. So they do good work at PACA. 508-996-05. Kind of open phones. You want to comment on what the mayor had to say? Normally, the mayor is here on Wednesdays at 11, then we're out of here, right? I leave, the mayor leaves, we go back, well, I go to do nothing, and the mayor goes to his office. So we don't often get this sort of post-mayor review, so you're welcome to do that. Good morning, thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
I wasn't calling really about the mayor. I wanted
sure,
to bring up a new topic,
yeah,
which is the I was a delegate to the Republican State Convention, and I just want to I was so happy to see so many young people,
yes,
like 20s, 30-year-olds attending. The one gentleman who gave a speech was Mike Walsh, and he's running for Attorney General, and he is engaging. He is,
yes,
smart. He was impressive. So anybody, you know, the way the state is right now, we have an opportunity for change, to bring young blood in and new, fresh ideas. I have to commend Sean Oliver with his successful lieutenant governor,
yes,
although I am a Minog supporter,
right,
for a variety of reasons. And one of them is he's up to date on innovation and just is a biomed company, getting that off the ground. That was not an easy task.
Correct.
And my last comment is of the gentleman that called, Mr. Sylvia. I agree with everything he said. That's it, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Oh, by the way, how did you? Yes. So you voted for Minogue at the convention.
I did.
And
I did, but I voted for Sean for the lieutenant governor. I recommended
a lot of people do that when they asked Manoj Oliver. I thought that was a great, would be a great team.
Sean, he impressed me. He and his wife, I mean, they have really, as a young couple, stepped up and, you know, all in for changing, to making the political world we live in currently better. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of sacrifice. These aren't easy things to do. So, you know, I just respect everybody that ran. It's not an easy thing to do.
No.
I thought we had three qualified candidates for governor. They all had some excellent, they've all achieved some excellent things. But here is the thing. Who is going to be Maura Healey? Who has that extra maverick strategist game plan to go forward with this? And anybody that calls up and complains about the governor, I do hope that they are going to vote her out.
Right.
They have that power, not just call an open line, but, you know, cast a vote for Manoj. Thank you.
Thank you very much, my friend. 508-996-0500. We had Sean here yesterday. Again, I was not at the convention, but I did advise some delegates who called me and asked me what I think. It was their first convention, and I told them, you got to vote, in my opinion, you got to vote for the local guy for lieutenant governor, Sean Oliver. But Mike Manoj seems to have the most resources. He does have the most resources, and he's a different kind of candidate. So, it's very reasonable, and I know it happened a lot locally that people voted for Mike Manoj and for Sean Oliver, even though those two are not matched perfectly with personalities. There's some tension there. We know that. And you know what's funny is, down ballot, Mike Walsh, running for attorney general, he was just here the other day in Fairhaven. He should have told me ahead of time, but the people around here who he was with, for some reason, kept him away. I don't get it, or the guy he was with. But I don't think collecting signatures in the morning in Fairhaven, when you can only accept Republicans and unenrolled, is the best use of Mike Walsh's time, considering he lives in Linfield. But some people will waste statewide candidates' time for their own uses. And Mike's a really dynamic guy and not afraid to wear a white Panama hat around on the campaign trail. So he's unique, and I love that white Panama hat that Mike Walsh wears around. I had lunch with him, me, the sheriff, Bill Tom Hodgson, a lot of guys, Lenny Mills, really dynamic guy, and he really understands, like, the MBTA Community Act. He's helping citizens fight the MBTA Community Act in their own community and how to deal with it. As Lenny Mills said, it's the law of the land. So how do you deal with it? And Mike Walsh really knows the law in and out. He's running for attorney general. Give him a Google search and maybe you'll give him a vote. I'm going to give him a vote. 508-996-0500. It's open phones if it's on your mind. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
What's happening?
Hey, is Butch your brother?
No, Neil.
Oh, Neil. Oh, okay. All right. Well, all I can say is you really haven't lived until you took a ride in the back of a cop car. But the story for another day. And they're going to tear down the Packer building, you said?
Yes. That's in the study.
When are they going to do that?
I haven't seen the timeline yet, but the mayor said within the next couple of years, when they figure how they're going to fund the design plans and all that. But yeah, that building's coming down. That's going to be gone. Is that progress, or what do you think? I mean, I think it is progress.
I mean, it's really, you know, it's we'll say, well, it's a center that really helps a lot of people out, and I'm sure they could find another place.
Oh, certainly,
but
yeah.
They help a lot of people out. We do a food run down there, maybe three times a week with a food truck for homeless people, but that's irrelevant. People will go to another place once they find out what's going on. But it's a historic building. It's a beautiful historic building. Maybe it is better off in pictures. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a great place for a police department because you're next to the highway, which also can get you to the west end of New Bedford, downtown South End. And, you know, so you're kind of in a really good spot for a police department. I think that'd be a good place for it. And that's probably the most troubled part of town, too, that general area, I think, as yep. well. So I think it's a great place for a police department. And time will tell, but hopefully it'll all work out. The only other problem I see is, well, it won't change traffic too much, I don't think, because traffic is busy as it is already there, and getting in and out of that parking lot is not that bad of a deal. But I think that'd be a good spot. Should work out pretty good. And so they're starting to play. Do they have a price tag on the new one?
The mayor said he figures about $100 million.
That's incredible. I remember 30 years ago, Wareham was trying to build a new police department. Yeah. I don't think they ever got one. And people were complaining because the price tag was going to be about $1 million.
Right.
And I'm sure people are kicking themselves in the shorts for that one, too, right now.
Well, that's the point, right? And I made it with the mayor. Yeah, you can put it off, or delay it, but it only means the price tag goes up, and you got to build a new police headquarters.
Right, right. And things changed dramatically. I mean, like, that used to be Fernandes. Before Fernandes, there was a mill there. I forgot what it was called. There was a mill there years ago. And oddly enough, there was a kid named Barry Sylvia who hung around in that mill once it was dilapidated, took a fall and had a severe head injury and almost died. I remember him.
That's not the same Barry Sylvia, though.
No, different Barry Sylvia.
I know, I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking.
So it was a Fernandes supermarket. So I really have never been inside it, so I don't really know if it's valuable or not. But the systems have to be updated. You know, technology changes all the time. And I'm sure we do need a new police department. But anyways, so keep up the good work. Always good to have you on. Any word about your kidneys?
Yes, sir. So I got cleared from my heart. They didn't have to do stents or anything like that. The heart does exist. There's no reason for stents. If there were stents, if they needed stents in my heart, it would have put it off for 6 months to a year because of the blood thinners. But they don't need to. So I'm cleared in that department and onward and upward. So I got a donor. It looks really good.
Is that is this your first surgery?
Related to my kidneys, yes.
Okay. But you've had surgeries before.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I told my doctors my next surgery is going to be an autopsy. You know, I think I've had enough for a while. You know? But,
well, hopefully my next surgery will not be an autopsy.
Yeah, you know, every time I go in there, they ask me what's wrong. I tell them, I think rigor mortis is biting me again, you know. But anyways, keep up the good work, and we'll be praying for you on that surgery, man.
Thank you, my friend. I do appreciate that. Yeah, as for PACA, okay, as I said here, and it's not up to me, but they do good work. They do good work, important work. And their clientele is mobile. And so the fact that the building that they're in is going to come down, I don't think it's a big deal. We certainly are going to have a lot of conversations about it. They can move their services somewhere else in the city, and whoever uses it will be, told where to go, and they'll get there. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Hanging in there for an old fight, you know? I want to talk about the Republican State Committee.
Okay.
The convention, rather, they had in Worcester. I think it was 1,600 to 1,800 delegates, right, Chris?
It was something like big number. Biggest
yeah,
big in number. Ever. Biggest
yeah,
in the modern era, I think.
Yeah, people waited an hour to 2 hours to get their dinner. I never made it. Some left. That's from what I heard.
Yep.
But Mike Minogue got a landslide victory, 70%. And then Keneally had 14%. He bowed out. And Brian Shortsleeve, 16%. And Mike Minogue's lieutenant, Governor Pick, she got, It's a he, right? 52%.
No, that's Ann Brensley. It's a female. She's an attorney.
Oh, it's a female. Yeah. I'm sorry. I forget which one it was, if it was one or the other. But
there's only one guy. That's Sean Oliver in the race.
52%?
Yes.
Yeah, and Sean came in third at 17%. I say just bow out. You know, let Mike go in there with his pick for lieutenant governor and, you know, just run that marathon. And right now, for short sleeve to stay in, he's going to be a spoiler, take away resources and everything else. Because it's very short now to the primary, the distance that you got to. I mean, I know Maura Healey, I mean, everything she touches turns to crap. But give the baton to Mike Minogue. Let's get this show on the road, you know?
Well, I think you're going to hear a lot more calls. There already have been calls to unify. There was a big rally on the North Shore for a unification rally. Let's all get together. So there'll be that conversation. I would say that Brian and Sean have maybe another week or so to decide what they're going to do, you know, talk to their supporters. I mean, they did get on the ballot because they got the votes, the minimum votes at the convention to get on the ballot. So they got to have a conversation with their supporters and make a decision. Yesterday, when I had Sean here in the studio, he was on to September. Brian, everything I've seen posted, and when I had him on the day before, he was all about on to September, meaning the primary, to face off against Minogue. But I think the drumbeat, the conversation, is going to get more intense for them to consolidate behind Minogue.
Well, I heard Sean on yesterday
with
you, and he was trying to see. I mean, 70% and to 16% is a big gap. I mean, he was trying to say, you know, people left and who knows, you know, how much they would have got. I mean, come on, let's be realistic. How much are you going to fill in that gap? 70% because some people left. They've just had it waiting for 2 hours. You know what I'm saying? That's too much of a gap to fill in whether people left or not. I'd say the smart thing to do is to bow out and get behind one guy so we can get somebody different up there up in Beacon Hill. Because running two horses on the race and one is trailing four horse lengths behind ain't going to win the race. You know what I'm saying?
And it's all about resources. So people can look on OCPF and keep up with it as to what the different campaigns have for resources. And there's a big difference, but... I think there's about another week or so for Brian Shortsleeve and Sean Oliver to think about what they're going to do and then make an informed decision, whether they want to consolidate behind the clear front runner or whether they want to fight it out till September.
Right, right. Let me just say one more thing about Sean. A young, bright guy.
Yep.
I think this wasn't the time for him to put his caboose behind Brian Shortsleeve. I knew from the get-go that he was going to go nowhere, Brian Shortsleeve.
Right.
But I am just saying he does have potential in the future. I'm just saying that, you know, the thing I don't agree with, he just got in as city councilor, and now he was, you know, on the campaign trail. And so it's taken away from his responsibilities as a councilor and the city issues and the constituents. And that's the part I didn't particularly agree with. But he's got future potential. I just think the caboose behind Brian Shortsleeve, he wasn't the right guy. If you get my drift.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Thank you. Thanks for the input. 508-996-0500. Can Sean do both jobs? Yeah, I think he can. He's got a ton of energy. He works the night shift at the prison, and he's out there campaigning, and he's always been able to... He's done a lot more than just be the city councilor and a corrections officer. So I think he can handle all three. Being on the campaign trail, working a full-time job, and being a city council. That's not my concerns for Sean at all, really. I think he can handle all those. We'll see, because we're going to watch it. But I think my bigger concern is this is Sean's first time on the big stage, and he doesn't have a lot of experience with that. Why would he? This is a first-time run for him. Is it always somebody's first time? By the way, it's Brian Shortsleeve's first time running for office statewide. It's Mike Minogue's first time running statewide. It is Ann Brensley's first time running statewide. And by the way, we touched on it briefly yesterday, Ann Manning Martin was lieutenant governor's candidate with Mike Keneally. She got like about 25, close to 30% of the vote at the convention. She actually is ahead of Sean, but behind Ann Brensley. She's still in the race. She's a Peabody City Councilor. Should she win in September over Ann Brensley and Sean, she'll be paired up with whoever wins the primary, which I believe will be Mike Minogue, could be Brian Shortsleeve. So there's another, like, really odd twist to this race, and we'll talk more about it. I got to take a break, and then we'll be back. What's on your mind? I'm here to hear it. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more care.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
I've been lied to, and I don't know why. Let that mean woman make me a fool. She took all my money, wrecked my new car. Now she's with one of my good time buddies. They're drinking in some crosstown bar. Sometimes I feel, sometimes I feel like I've been
Welcome back to the program. Sometimes I'm sure your car feels like it's been tied to the whipping post. That's why you've got to get it over to Mac Auto Sales. Mac Auto Sales is a family-owned business right in New Bedford, right on Rivet Street. Mac Auto Sales repairs all makes and models of automobiles. So you need to get your car ready for the coming changing season, and I'm sure you do. Call today and make an appointment at Mac Auto Sales in repair. 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays 9 to 5. You drive a foreign car, that's great. Mac Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. They do a lovely job with American-made as well. Mention WBSM, they'll give you a nice break on the bill. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale at Mac Auto Sales. Kind of open phones, guys. Let's hear from everybody. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, Chris, a real quick word on Sean Oliver.
Okay.
I had a conversation with him prior to my appearing before the New Bedford City Council to, as they say, chastise the Democrat-dominated state legislature. Don't you love saying that the way they do about the Republican-dominated U.S. House? The Democrat-dominated state legislature in Massachusetts, let's be clear, the Democratic Party has controlled the House and the Senate since 1954.
Yep.
And every single year except three that I can name, the number of Republicans went down. And as such, Sean Oliver gets my vote and my support because after my appearance at the New Bedford City Council to talk about how your state reps and your state senators, and by the way, Tuesday was the deadline to file for state rep and state senator.
Yep.
And isn't it interesting that they took up the state budget the next day, meaning all the guys who are unopposed know they can just vote for whatever they want, including screwing the cities and towns. But Sean Oliver, after my three-minute dissertation to the city council on underfunding of state revenue to the cities and towns, which forces up local taxes, not increased spending, he came over and shook my hand and said, you're 100% correct, and sent me a note later. So Sean Oliver gets to be lieutenant governor, and I hope that he does. I think there'll be a different tune being sung by who's in the governor's office on House Bill 1. And if you want to have immediate relief for taxes, have your state reps and your state senators vote against the current state budget that does not fully fund those state revenue issues that come back to the cities and towns, because your city council is about to pass a budget, and all the towns are, and everybody is looking at overrides. You want immediate relief? Fund local aid, Chapter 70, 90, go down the list. And then if the House needs, the state, Massachusetts Democrat-dominated state legislature needs more money, you tell them to vote to raise taxes and see how it works out. But Sean Oliver, he gets it. As a city councilor and also as a candidate for lieutenant governor, he's on our side as a taxpayer.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. I do appreciate that because that's a member of the longtime member of the Rainham School Committee. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House right in downtown New Bedford. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. If you're on hold, stay there.
Good morning, Chris. Steve here. How you doing today?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Not bad. So, you know, Democrats are nationally pushing the one agenda item is affordability. And affordability, you know, the first affordability issue is taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a direct impact on anything you purchase. And it's really kind of hard for me to believe that Democrats legislators are pushing for overrides in 2.5 and still just putting the pedal to the metal on taxes when they're leading with this whole affordability discussion, and taxes are front and center with affordability. I mean, you end taxes, everything's more affordable. You know what I mean? And it's hard to control affordability with products because it's the entire process from, you know, product development to shipping to when it's landed on the shelf. But taxes, you can change instantly because it's a one ticket item. So anyway, I'm really surprised that 2.5 is coming up in so many communities, and I hope people vote against it.
Well, it's almost like it's a top down plan, right? Because it's happening in every community. It's not gurgling up from the communities because they want to override and raise property taxes. It's because they can't keep up with their current level of spending and future spending with the state aid. And the state gobbled up all their other forms of resources, forms of our revenue.
Right. Right. And they had the governor sort of pushing, you know, like to increase local taxes. I mean, she's sort of saying, hey, go get the local taxes.
She's literally saying, yeah, I'm not giving you any more out of the state budget, but here's an option to raise more taxes, including overriding Prop 2.5, which also is the auto excise tax. Option to triple the auto excise tax on your residents from the city council
That's
and
crazy.
The mayor. It's crazy.
Yeah, excise is, you know, if you have a trailer, an excise tax is, you know, you paid for a trailer in your backyard and you're paying for that trailer again with another excise tax. Now she wants to tax the tax, which is, I don't know how that's constitutional, but, you know, I think all of this is about paying for illegal aliens because they need to get to the 2030 census because illegal aliens will be counted in the census. And that will reset all of these. You won't have to gerrymander.
Right.
They're doing it through illegals. So, anyway.
No, you're 100% correct. Thanks for the call, Tom. These are not stupid people. All right. They are trying to. You've seen all the redistricting conversations going on. There was one in the Supreme Court yesterday. You've seen it. This is what it's all about. They want to increase the illegal alien population in Massachusetts or retain the huge amount of them that are here with welfare and generous benefits to keep them here, to be counted in the census, to preserve.